Psalms 127, the first verse. That's going to be our, through this little series that I'm doing called Lessons from the Old Farmhouse. Lessons from the Old Farmhouse. And our children are dismissed to go to class. You can head in that direction. Look at them. They were like ready to shoot out the door. Y'all, wow. Y'all have a great lesson this morning. Did we lose power? Okay, that's all right. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. Guarding it with sentries will do no good. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the truth that you give to us. You are truth, and you expound your truth to us, God. It does two things. It corrects us, and it loves us. It divides the flesh from the spirit, the marrow from the bone, and it teaches us how to walk with God and to know our God. Thank you for the word of the Lord. May it go deep into our hearts today. May it be a seed, Lord, that you plant deep in our spirit that will birth the likeness of Christ in our life. In Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. Well, I had some pictures to show you, but our unit is down. So that doesn't change the message. I just wanted to show you some pictures of some things in the Lessons from the Old Farmhouse. This is Lessons from the Old Farmhouse Part 2. It's probably going to be about a four-part series. We'll finish out January, and then we'll be going to something else. April the 22nd, actually, in 2013, Brian and I purchased an old farmhouse. We had moved from our larger house, our farm that we had had for almost 15 years. We'd raised all of our children there. And then as we began to get older, and our children began to go to college, we realized that we were probably going to have to sell it. It was heart-wrenching for us. It was a season of great change. And, our income had gotten smaller, but the expenses were still the same to maintain and to take care of everything. And so we felt like the best thing to do was to downsize. And so we ended up selling our home. And in 2013, we purchased a little old farmhouse. And I'll say this, as we get ready to talk about vision, which that's what this is about today, is vision, lessons from the old farmhouse. You've got to have vision if you're going to be able to move forward in anything in life. You've got to wake up every day believing that God has something on the agenda for you to be able to do today, that life is not wasted, that there is a purpose for your life, that your life has value and meaning. And without vision, you really can't do that. We have to be able to seek God for the vision and the will that he has for our life. And in doing that, we find answers and we find direction. We may not have every detail along the way. He may ask us to step out in faith and go in a direction that we're not familiar with, and it may feel very uncomfortable. I said last week, change is a part of life, but change is not always welcomed. We don't always welcome change. We're not just standing on the, screaming out, going, this is great, this is wonderful, this is fantastic, this change. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's great. When you have a new baby, that's great. When you're going to get married, that's great. 20 years after marriage, you may be thinking, I don't know. But we have to have vision in our life, and God gives us vision to be able to know how to live in the time that we're here. The Bible says that we're to live here. We have to live on the earth. We're to be representation of the kingdom, what the kingdom of God is like. And we get that confused sometimes. We think that we're here just to, fill in the time. We forget that every single second is valuable. And if it's not valuable to you, it's valuable to someone else who is needing you in their life. And so we have to have vision. So we bought this farmhouse, and it was going to need some vision to be able to do what we needed to do. Move forward in it. So last week I shared with you about the old farmhouse that we had purchased. It had been empty for 3 years, and it was longing for a family. The house had been built around the 1920s, and so when we stripped it down to the walls, which we had to do, because there were just things about it that were going to have to be renovated. There was no bathroom on the main floor. Everything was up on the second floor. There was one bathroom, and I had a window right over the tub, which I found to be very inconvenient. But so we had that there. The plastered walls were all cracked when they had put in Route 60 years and years ago, and actually made Route 60. It was a main highway. They had blasted it, and when they did that, of course, it cracked the walls of a lot of the homes around there that were made of plaster. So all the plaster in the house was cracked and broken in several of the rooms. And, you know, if you looked at the house from an exterior, it was in really bad shape. It had been really neglected. The fence was falling down. Still is. We haven't got to that yet. But there was the outside had not been maintained. There were bushes growing everywhere. And so it was pretty wild. And so what we had to do was we had to have a vision from the Lord. It was that desperate. It was like, God, you got to give us something, because we felt like that we were supposed to buy it. But in doing that, we didn't know how that was going to work out. And so we really had to seek God for a vision. Vision is defined as revelation whereby God discloses himself and his will. You see, every vision that's given usually has to deal with other people. And so we really do want the will of God, because God, his main concern is that his name would be glorified in all the earth, and that he loves people. And it's about God and it's about people. And that's what life is about, period. And though we live here and we have to have homes to live in and we have to have other things, yet God is still concerned that you would love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your being, and that you would love your neighbors, your love yourself. These are the two fulfillment prophecies, two commandments that were given by the prophets. Vision is defined once again is revelation whereby God discloses himself and his will. He is the source of all vision. You say, well, there are people that aren't serving God and they have vision to do things. He is the source of all vision. Every person that's ever been made was made in the image and the likeness of God. It is his mind, his ability that he gave to us that causes us to be able to reason and to think. And he is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is all in all, everything. And whether you serve him or not, he will have the final say on the days that were given to you. On the days that were given to you, they were given to you. Life was given to you by God, whether you believe in him or whether you don't. He is the source of all vision. So when we bought this farmhouse, we knew that there were going to have to be some changes made, and change that would be better for the future of this house and for our family, and that's where God has gifted me. I can see things in people that not everybody can see, and I consider everyone valuable, even if they hate my guts. I consider them valuable because criticism is important for growth. And so, you know, I see vision. So we had this little farmhouse. I don't know if he's got them up there yet. And we had the little white farmhouse. It was 1,400 square feet, which is a pretty good size. And you can see we had to do some work. And so to make it conducive to where our family could live in it, we had to tear out the whole back end of the house. Now, I just want you to know that in this picture, you see that open spot in the corner? Yeah, that was the back of the house. And Brian stood there and he said, "So this is my dream house." I mean, he was bummed out. Because, and I was the cheerleader going along, but can't you see it like this and can't you see it like that? And it's going to have this and it's going to have that. This was the rubble. And I just want to say this to some of you who have went through some really dark days in your life, and only you know what those dark days are. There have been times when your life has felt like this, when you didn't know how you were going to get through where you were to the next place. And that's when you have to have an architect. That's when you've got to have God in your life to be able to come along and to be able to say, I know this is what it looks like right now, but in 20 years from now, it's going to flourish. Or in 10 years from now, it's going to be better. And if you'll cooperate with God, the architect, then he will show you how to get from where you are now to where you need to be. And that's vision. So I worked with the architect. We found a little old man up in Hurricane. He was wonderful. And all this time in my heart, I saw pictures of what this house could be. I saw rooms, and I saw how the kitchen could be, and I saw in my mind and in my heart how this was going to work out. And God kept showing me things, and I kept a stack this big of my dreams of what this was going to look like. Now, y'all understand that, don't you? You have prophecies. You have things that God has spoken over your life. You have dreams. And you keep them. Maybe they're not in a stack of paper in a folder, but you have them in your heart. This is what God said to me. I know for this church, when I first came here, there was much that I had in my heart. And God, He told me all these things that He wanted to do with Glad Tidings. And let me just say, the very first thing that we need to know is when God begins to give you vision and He begins to pour that into your heart of what it can be, He shows you all the pictures and you get excited. Yeah. I got real excited. I was like, yes, and this is going to look great. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. And it's good that you're excited because you're going to need the energy when it looks like this. When everything is crumbling all around you and you feel like you are standing in the middle of nothingness, you're going to have to be able to grab hold of the energy and the vision that God gave you at the very onset and be able to step into the next phase and be able to move into the next part. Because let me say that the vision is going to test your faith. It is going to test you to the highest level. It's going to strip you down of all the things that we don't need. It's like a refiner's fire. As the gold is placed inside the pot and the fire is turned up. And as the gold begins to simmer, as it begins to cook and to make itself into the purest amount of gold possible. Notice I said pure, because that's very important. The vision that God gives you is not only for the purpose of other people and for your family or and all of that. The purpose that God gives you a vision is for you, because it's going to strip things out of you that need to be stripped out of you. It's going to test you in areas that you don't want to be tested in. It's going to make you feel uncomfortable, and it's not always going to feel good. So the energy and the strength of the vision that God gives you on the onset is going to be needed halfway down the road when the fire gets turned up a little bit higher and you look into the pot and all the impurities are coming to the surface. That's that ugly attitude that I had. That was that doubting that I had in my heart of how God was going to do this. That's that fear, that insecurity. And the Lord is going to cause you to have to deal with that with Him alone. I would get inside my room at night, and when the house was in this stage and when it went for a long span of being like this, and I would get in my room at night and I would feel this overwhelming sense of panic in my heart. Is this going to work out? Is this going to work out? Is Brian going to be upset with me? Are my children going to be disappointed? Are we going to have enough money? Are we going to be able to pay the bills? And I would feel like I was literally choking in fear. In fear. Now, everybody else from the outside, from Route 60, would say, oh, look at what they're doing up there. That looks great. They're doing a great job. Inside my bedroom at night, I was grabbing a hold of God. And I was saying, Lord, I need your strength to get through this. Because there were lots of things that were happening inside of my heart. There was a lot of dross in there that was coming to the surface as I began to deal with all of the things inside of me. So the vision comes by God. It's given to you by God, number one. And then the vision comes to not only help other people, but to test you and your heart. And it's in those times of testing that God begins to purify your motives and purify you as a person. Remember that the vision brings joy at the onset, because you're going to need that joy and that energy, and you're going to need the visions and the dreams and the prophecies that God has spoken, and you're going to have to carry those in your heart, and because those are going to be necessary when you feel like everything around you once again is falling apart. You're going to have to be able to reach back and pull those out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Does this make sense? You're going to have to reach back and pull them out because you're going to have to look at them on the days when you're struggling, on the days when it's dark, on the days when it's not making sense. It's kind of like a college student knowing that in the end they're going to have a degree, but they failed the last test. And somewhere inside of them, they've got to build up enough courage and enough faith to say, in the end, it's going to be worth it, and it keeps them going. You think about how much money you're going to make when you get out. You're going to think about the degree you're going to have. You're going to think it's going to be worth it. It's like that with all things. Your wayward child, the one that's away from God and not serving God. You've got to believe what God has spoken about that child, because there will be days when you are on your hands and knees before God saying, what did you say about this child? What did you say? Because it ain't looking good. It looks like that. It's all torn apart, and they're going in the wrong direction, and they're living a lie, and they're deceived, and they're in. You're going to have to believe at that point the vision that God has told you about the child. The same is true about anything in your life. Anything in your life, a job, a marriage, a family. You can pull back to the vision that God gave you from the beginning and draw energy from it and strength from it to keep going, because you're going to need to. So the vision brings joy at the beginning. And the emotion helps lead the way so that you can begin to have faith to be able to go forward. In Habakkuk 2 and 2, it says, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. Now you've got to know that what God has shown you and spoken to you, that like I said, you've got to have it written down so that when trouble comes, you're not going to give up and bail. You know, that's really important, because we have a whole society that when it gets hard, they quit. Yes. You know, when it gets hard, I quit. I never let my kids quit anything. I'm like, you know, whether you like it or not, or maybe it wasn't even what you expected, you finish what you started, you finish. Because perseverance is so much a part of faith. It's so much a part of enduring and persevering, and you keep going, and you stay committed, and you keep pressing, and you keep pressing, and you keep pressing. Because any time that you give up, the enemy's going to lay you out. And you're not going to be able to see what God has for you or the future that he has for you. That's why the prophet here said to write it down and then send it with a runner, because the energy that you get is going to cause that person to run, and it's going to carry out the message to other people. So you have a message that needs to be carried out. You can see how this all correlates with the things that we deal with on everyday life. Remember, the very first thing, this is a statement I tell my children all the time. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Because everybody can start. Yeah. Everybody can get excited and have the energy to start it. But very few people press on. Jesus said when he comes back, will he even find faith on the earth? And I just want to see people finish. I want to see people stand before him and see him face to face and know that it was worth it. It's going to be worth it on that day. It's going to be worth it. Everything about my life is finishing. I want to finish well. I want to say like what the Apostle Paul said. I have kept the faith. I've finished this course. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You know, I want to finish well. So it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And number two, you must have God's blueprints. We had to work with the architect to gather information about how we wanted it to be, and then we had to come together and have a relationship in order for us to be able to see, to put down on paper what the blueprint was actually going to look like. Well, I had to have a relationship with that architect. I was sharing things that I was seeing in my head. You've got to have a relationship with God. You've got to spend time with God. He is the architect of your life. Everything that you are going to do in the future, you should be talking to him about it, and he should be talking to you, and you should be having intimate conversation with him on a daily basis. He is the one that gives you the blueprints. And so it's very important that we work with God. And once again, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. You don't want to just do something for the sake of doing something. You want to do it because the Lord is giving you the vision to be able to do it, and because you find worth and value and calling and purpose in what you're doing. That's really important, because that's what gives you the strength to be able to keep going. Jeremiah, if you'll turn to Jeremiah 1 through 4. I want to go there real quick. It's interesting in Jeremiah. I love this part, because this is how I felt so often. Jeremiah 18. The very first verse, it says, "The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, 'Go down to the potter's shop and I will speak to you there.' So I did as he told me, and found the potter working at his wheel. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped, and so he crushed it." The jar that he was making did not turn out as he had hoped, and so he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. There have been times in your life when what you did crushed, needed to be crushed. Right? What I did needed to be crushed. It's like, I have a vision for this house, but until I tear it down, I can't build it back up. I have a situation, and until it's clean and the slate's cleared, I can't move forward. In this situation, he's actually, of course, Jeremiah was the weeping prophet who had to prophesy Israel's correction, the judgment that was going to come to Israel. And what he's saying is, the Lord didn't have a problem with the clay. The clay refused to conform to the potter's wheel, and so he had to make it over again. And sometimes when we do things our way, the way that we want to, and we deviate from the blueprint, or we deviate from the plan that God has for us, sometimes he takes that clay and just, let's try that again, because they've messed that up. And I just want to say that that's a painful process, but it's necessary. We had to tear the house down to build it back up. We had to tear off the whole back end to make it something productive for our family. These are lessons that I've learned from this little old farmhouse, but these are lessons about life. Sometimes you just blew it, and it just has to start over and be able to move forward in the direction that God has for it, to be able to get back. There were times in this process that I deviated from the blueprint. I added this, I added that, I moved this, I moved that. And there was a price to pay for that. Anytime I deviated from the blueprint, it cost me more. Anytime I added something extra that it wasn't called for, it cost me. And then I got to the end, and what started out as being a project that we were going to be able to pay cash for everything and not have to borrow, ended up we had to borrow. Yes. And it wasn't God's fault. No. It was my fault. Yes. He saw that the jar was marred because of my decisions, and he just had, plan B is now in effect, because even though plan A was the better plan for you, now I'm going to have to go to plan B, and you're going to have to suffer. You'll have to suffer a little bit. You'll have to do some things that you weren't planning on doing, because now you've put yourself in a position. Anytime you deviate from the plan that God has for you, there's consequences for that. And there's a certain portion that is painful. And God teaches you lessons through that, but he doesn't punish you forever. You know, he doesn't punish you forever. He doesn't leave you in that situation and just, you know, where you feel condemned all the time. I hate feeling condemned all the time. He doesn't make you feel condemned all the time. You confess it. You can, Lord, I confess that we deviated from the plan that you had from us, and I'm sorry. But don't allow my enemies to reproach me, and don't allow me to stay in this mess forever. And Lord, give me a plan so that I can keep going forward, because your plans were right. I just deviated from your plan, and now there's a cost to pay. But don't let me stay in that mess forever. You know, bring me out of it so that my enemies won't laugh at me, make fun of me. And so there's a plan beyond that. So, you know, to stay with the blueprints are important. You have to stay with the blueprints and allow God to teach you some things along the way. It's going to be better if you do it God's way. But if you deviate, I just want to be honest with you, because most people aren't. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's a price to pay for that. He ain't going to leave you convicted forever. You're not going to always bear the blow of it forever. But there are some painful moments that I have experienced because of it. The vision seems slow in coming. Wait patiently for it. I didn't think this project was ever going to end. I'll just be honest with you. It just wore me out. I didn't think we was ever going to get to the end. I just thought, you know. And in the process of that, we lost my husband's mom. And so we were grieving. We were grieving the loss of where we were. We were grieving the loss of my husband's mom. We were grieving the loss of 15 years in a place that we loved. And now we were in a different place and we were renting. And so if you think that change at times isn't uncomfortable, I'm going to tell you it's very uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. I grieved and cried, and he was grieving and crying. And I just want to tell you this, at all of those times, we never missed a day of church. We never missed him being back there and me being up here, because we're committed. And even when it's hard, you do what you need to do. Even when you got tears streaming down your face, even when you feel like your heart's been pulled out and ripped out of your chest, I would watch my husband sit back there and cry, tears streaming down his face. But he was committed. He was committed to me. He was committed to God. He was committed to what God had. I would watch him stand at the end of that broken down porch, and he would just be like, "So this is, what is this? What's happening to my life? Everything I knew and I was familiar with is gone. My mom is gone. My family's broken. We're in a different place. I don't know." And I would watch him just cry. And I couldn't fix it. You know, I couldn't fix it. And it was a very difficult place. The vision seemed slow in coming. It just seemed like it was just going to, the pain was just going to go on forever. And there were many times when I went back and I had to grab a hold of God, and he would say, "This is what I showed you in the beginning. I finish what I talk about. I finish what I prophesy. What I speak, I fulfill. So you just hang on and keep going." And that's what we did. So the vision seems slow in coming. He tells us to wait patiently for it. For it will surely come. If you don't quit and give up, it's going to come. Now, if you quit, then of course it's not going to be fulfilled. It's not God's fault. He says it's not going to be delayed. And then know this. He said, "My word will not return void without accomplishing that to which I've sent it." The word of God is sure. Everything that he says out of his mouth, he will bring it to pass. But there will be times when it tarries. There will be times when you have to wait for it. There will be times when it's uncomfortable and it's painful and it hurts. And in those times, do you have the trust and the faith and the belief in God to hold on to him and let him hold on to you and you hold on to him to see the end of the thing? He says, "Though it tarries, wait for it." In the Amplified Bible, it says this. It gives a prophetic warning. It says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It hastens to the end fulfillment. It will not deceive or disappoint. Though it tarry, wait earnestly for it, because it will surely come. It will not be behindhand." In other words, it won't be late on its appointed day. You mean there's an appointed day when this will end? There's an appointed day when God will be done with the affairs of men. It is appointed. He will settle his accounts with mankind. And people, I hear him say all the time, "Oh, it's been 2,000 years since he said he was going to come back." Yeah, and on a day when you think not, the sky's going to part and he's coming. Because there is an appointed day and there is a time when the Father will say, "Enough." There is an end. There is an appointed time. There is, you can only go so far, and he's going to be finished with that. He's going to be finished with it. And so there is appointed time, and it's going to come as you keep walking it out, as you keep walking it out, as you keep walking out. You're going to eventually see the end of the thing, and it's going to be finished. The process is going to have its way. The time will test you. Once again, it's going to test you. But that is good, because it's important that we press through. It's important that we learn to persevere. It's important. People in other countries, they're dying for what they believe in. Their children are being crucified. They're dying for the cause of Christ. And so what we go through here is small in comparison to what others are going through other places. And I always try to keep that perspective, don't you? I have a little book of remembrance, and in my book of remembrance, I write down little things that God has done for me. Because whenever I think, oh, woe is me, and I feel sorry for myself, and I pull out my little violin and my little wine and cheese and cry, then I go back to my book of remembrance and I think, oh, somebody has lost their loved one today. Somebody has buried their child today. Amen. Somebody's hurting somewhere, and I need to be thankful for what I have. Lord, you've done this for me, and you've done that for me, and I'm sorry. I am sorry. My sister always says, put on your big girl panties and get up. I know we're in church. Y'all can smile. It's okay. Sometimes you just got to get up.
Yes.
And so the end of the thing is going to come. The Bible says it's not going to be disappointing in the end. Even if you've made some mistakes along the way, in the end, you're not going to be disappointed. The final result, the end result, is going to bring a satisfaction to your heart in a lot of ways. Not only are you going to see the finished product, not only are you going to experience the finished product, and you're going to be able to stand back and say, oh, wow, thank you, Lord, that looks great. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me through that. Not only are you going to be able to see that, but you're going to be able to look inside your heart and God, all the lessons and all the things that God taught you and all the things that he showed you along the way that deepened your faith, that deepened your marriage. I mean, Brian and I, that was one of the hardest years ever on our marriage. I think we were just tested in every way in our marriage. It was rough. It was rough. It was a rough year. I thought, are we going to make it? It's the only time I went to marriage counseling. It was the only time I went to marriage counseling was through that process. And we were hurting. We were hurting. Nobody else knew up here. Maybe you didn't know here. But I'm telling you, we were struggling. And we went through that process. We went, look, my mom's like, amen, sister.
Amen.
I know all about it. I got a witness on seat number two. But, you know, that the things that brought us through that are the very things now that have strengthened us. I mean, my husband is so devoted to me, and we plowed through it together. Questions, unanswered questions, not knowing how we were going to get through, wondering how days were going to be, wondering what the outcome was going to be like. We pressed through together. We grabbed a hold of God and just went through it together. And when we did, it did something inside of us that said, you know what, I can trust you when it's all over and done, that we're going to finish this thing. Was it perfect? Did we ever get into some big fights? Oh, my gosh. There was one when I thought, good grief, I don't think I even like you right now. You know, oh, I know, y'all have never been through that. I hear giggling. You know, but when everything is said and done, I have such an appreciation for his loyalty and faithfulness to me. Because he really stepped out believing that God had spoken to me. And he stepped out with me. And he just took my hand and said, we'll go, and I'll go with you.
Amen.
And so our marriage was strengthened through all of that. There is a thing that there is that part of it that I am so grateful for. And all the lessons that God has taught me along the way. It says that the end of the thing will not disappoint. You know, though at times you're in the middle of the mess and you want to quit eventually, if you allow God to have his way, just like the refiner's gold is purified, it's 24 karat gold, it's beautiful, it's soft, it's pliable. Real gold is soft because the storms have made you tender and they've made you grab a hold of God because he's all you got. Real gold is beautiful. Shimmers and shines and it's beautiful to behold. God will take you back many times once again and showed you what he showed you in the beginning to give you the strength to persevere. And in the end, when the thing is all finished, you'll be glad. It won't disappoint you. You'll be glad that you hung in there. You'll be glad that you stayed with it. You'll be glad that even though you were corrected and you deviated at times from the course in which God had for you, you'll be glad that you persevered with Christ.
Amen.
That's really what I want to tell you today. You're going to be glad when that you persevered with Christ. You're going to be glad that even when it was tough, you kept going. You're going to be glad that you stayed with the Master and that you loved Him and that you were willing to be committed to Him. What lessons can we learn from the farmhouse? We can learn that God does give visions, and those visions are enjoyable. And those visions in dark times give you strength to keep going. And in those dark days, you're going to learn some things about God, and you're going to learn some things about yourself. And you're going to also, in those dark days, be able to retrieve some of the prophecies, some of the things that God has spoken, some of the things that God has shown you in your heart. And when everything is said and done, you're going to be able to finish well. Don't you want to finish well?
Yes.
So it won't be. And when the Lord finished something, it's not disappointing. It's fulfilling. It brings joy. And there are some things that you got from that trial and that situation that you would have gotten no other way.